Good afternoon, everyone. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we're doing a period of outreach. And it's good to be able to come out in the street with the Christian gospel. Because today, the day that we live in, there is much ignorance regarding the Christian gospel and what the Christian gospel is all about. So this afternoon, as you walk by and as you go about your business, we want to bring something of the Christian message to you this afternoon. As I said, we're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, that's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station, and you'll go up the hill there. And you'll come to Thornwood Primary School. And our building is next door to that on the crossroads. And we would extend a warm welcome to you. We meet on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. And we meet there at 11 a.m. And again, we meet in the early evening at 6 p.m. And we would extend a warm welcome to you. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. And be assured that if you would come along, you would hear something more concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, we want to bring to your attention something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, because ultimately this is what Christianity is all about. It's about what Jesus has done. And this is what makes Christianity unique. As we know that the day that we live in, there are many, many religions. It's impossible to calculate how many, but there are thousands of them, and they seem to be growing day after day. But there are a number of things that make Christianity unique. And one of the things is concerning the founder. The founder is none other than the eternally begotten Son of God. And it is unique in the sense that the Son of God came down from heaven. Truly unique. As I said, there are many religions, but none can claim that their founder has come down from heaven. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the eternally begotten Son of God. And He has come down from heaven on a mercy mission. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And this raises a number of questions for us. And it reveals a number of things concerning our great God. He saw us lost and perishing. He saw us without hope in this world. And He was motivated by love. And that love sent forth His only begotten Son. As you know, the Christian God is three persons, one God, the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. And the Son of God became the Son of Man. What does that mean? Well, the Son of God became a man. And that is absolutely incredible. But that's what happened. He came down to this world on a mercy mission in order to seek and to save that which was lost. And this is wonderful news for us today, because whether we recognize it or not, as far as God is concerned, all of us by nature are lost and we are perishing. We have no hope in this world by ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches us. Read your Bibles, friends. If you have one, read it. If you don't have one, please make contact with us and we'll endeavor to give you a Bible. But if you read your Bibles, you'll be told there, in no uncertain times, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's verdict upon your life and upon my life. That's God's verdict upon every single individual that has ever lived. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You will notice, friend, that someone has been excited by what I'm saying. They've got a laser on me. They want to shut me up. And this is the way what happens when people hear the Christian gospel and they don't like it, because it tells the truth as it is in Jesus. But we are reminded, friends, that one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And that is why we come out this afternoon, in order to present to you in clear, concise terms what the Christian gospel is. God saw us lost. God saw us perishing. God saw us without hope in this world because of our sins. And God has sent forth the Lord Jesus Christ in order that we might be saved from our sins. This is the good news of the Christian gospel. It is that God has sent forth His Son to do what we ourselves could never do, to meet the just demands of God's most holy and inflexible law. And that is, in essence, the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel tells us we are lost. We are perishing. We are sinners in the sight of God. The Old Testament tells us that God looked upon the world and all He saw was sin and misery. We're told in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's God's verdict upon the ancient world. And upon that ancient world, what did He do? He sent a flood. Well, the modern world is exactly the same. God looks down today, and what does He see? He sees nothing but sin and debauchery. "For God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What a terrible picture it is of mankind. What a terrible indictment. God has looked upon mankind, and that's what He has seen. But God has moved. God has done something. What has He done? He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that He might suffer and die in our room and in our place. And as the Apostle Paul said to the young pastor Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." Here's the mission. Here's the purpose of the Son of God becoming a man. It was in order that He might save sinners. And this reminds us, friends, that we need to be saved. It tells us we're not right with God by ourselves, and that we do need to be saved. And we cannot save ourselves. We must look to another. Who is that other one that we are to look to? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to look to Him in order that we might be saved. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And that's why we come out this afternoon, in order that we might bring to your attention something concerning the eternal, ever-blessed gospel, and that you might prepare yourselves. And the only way that you can prepare yourselves is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's an exhortation to the young people, and there are many young people here today, an exhortation to them to seek the Lord while he may be found, to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a wonderful and glorious King, and it's great to be a subject of Christ. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's an exhortation to the young people. Are there young people here today listening? Yes, there's young people. And what are they exhorted to do? They are exhorted to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to submit unto him, to take him as Lord and Savior, that they might indeed have him as their Lord and Savior. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, the Bible says. Because there's many people who will hear the gospel, and many people will agree with the gospel. And the gospel tells us that we're sinners and we need a Savior. And when they honestly look and assess their own lives, they will acknowledge they're not right. And they will acknowledge that they need a Savior. But they will say to themselves, maybe later on, I'll give it more consideration when I'm older, when I'm more mature maybe. That's what they say. But these days never come. They continue to put it off and to put it off. And then the evil days come. What are the evil days? These evil days are old age days. Now we are not in any sense slighting the elderly, because we know that we ourselves will soon be elderly. But when they call them evil days, they're evil days because life is more difficult when you're older. It's not an easy thing to repent and to believe the gospel. We suddenly can't get up one morning and say we're going to be Christians. It's not as simple, it's not as easy as that. We're urged to seek the Lord while he may be found. We're urged to call upon him while he is near. And in the days of youth, that's the time when to seek the Lord. That's the time when to call upon him. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Can you do it elsewhere? Like,
no, quite happy to do it here, sir.
Like really fun.
We're out here because we want you to listen, sir. We want you to listen.
I know, but like, it's just a suggestion. If you could just
yes, I accept your suggestion, but we're here because we have a purpose.
Yeah,
and we're here because you don't come to church.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We're here, and we have a good message for young people, for old people. It's a message that's relevant to every single one of us. It doesn't matter how old we are. We all need to hear the gospel. What a tremendous privilege it is to be able to hear the gospel, to hear something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because many people today are ignorant of the gospel, absolutely ignorant of it. But it's the most important message that you could possibly hear. Because this message is relevant to where you will spend eternity. And yes, there is such a thing as eternity. Don't think for one moment that when you die, that life is all over. You will exist. You will continue. You will live forever. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we believe. And furthermore, we know it's true because the Lord Jesus, He was crucified. And He came down from the cross, dead and buried. And they put Him in a tomb. But on the third day He rose, victorious over the grave. And there, friends, that demonstrates to us that there is life after death. You know, the atheist would like to tell you that once you die, it's all over. It's curtains. That's what they'll tell you. That's what they hope. But that's not true. And we know it's not true because, as I said, Jesus suffered and died and rose again. And therefore, this would tell us that all of us, no doubt, all of us, unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all of us will go the way of all the earth. We will all suffer and we will all die. But that's not the end. That is merely the beginning. And where will you spend eternity? This is a very, very important question. It's not something to be lightly dismissed. Where will you spend eternity? The Bible tells us that those who belong to the Lord Jesus, those who call upon Him, those who are Christians, they will go to be with Him in a place called heaven. Now, we don't know much about this place. We only know that it will be a wonderful place, a glorious place, a place of holiness, a place of light, a place of happiness, of blessedness, a place of bliss. And that's where all who belong to the Lord Jesus will go, and they will spend eternity with Him. But what of those who don't know the Lord Jesus? What about those who don't have Him as Lord and Savior? What about those who rebel against Him and will not receive Him? Where will they go? Well, the Bible tells us again, friends. It tells us of another place. What is that place called? Well, you know it. You hear it so often in modern conversations today. But it's a terrible place, and it's a place called hell. And we're not to make light of it. It's an absolutely terrible place that has been prepared for the devil and for his angels. And that's the place that people will go who do not know and do not love and do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come out this afternoon. We come out that we might be able, in some sense, to bring you something of the claims of Christ to you, and that you might know there is hope for you. And your hope is not in yourself. Your hope is not in religion. Your hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the one who has been crucified. He's the one who has paid the price for sinners on Calvary Street. And He's the one who is the Savior. And you are to believe upon Him. And I ask you, how can you possibly believe upon someone whom you know nothing about? That's why we come out, in order, even for this short time, that we might simply introduce this person to you, in order that you might put your faith in Him. Your urge to put your faith and hope upon a person, not upon a church, not upon religion, but upon a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus. And therefore, for you to put your faith in Him, you must surely know something about Him. And that's why we come out. Because we realize that many people today do not go to a Christian place of worship. And sadly, even if they do go to a so-called Christian place of worship, very often the gospel is not proclaimed there. That's fine, sir. That's fine. But we want to come out. We want to tell you. We want to tell you about someone who has saved us someone who has given us a wonderful, peaceful conscience, someone who has saved us from our sins. And we want to tell you about this person also. You know, I would be a very strange individual if I found out about someone who could cure me of a terrible terminal illness. If I found someone who was able to cure me of a terrible illness that I had, and I kept that secret to myself, would you not think, honestly, that that would be a strange individual who would keep the identity of that person who healed him to himself? Well, that is the way it is with Christianity. Christ is the only one who can save you from your sins. Christ is the only one who can take you to glory. Christ is the only one that can take you to heaven. He alone is the God-appointed Savior. There is no other Savior. He Himself did say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." And what He was saying there is, no one will go to heaven. No one will be in glory at the end. No one will have their sins forgiven. No one will be right with God unless Jesus Christ saves. This is what makes Him unique. And we have found Him to be unique. And therefore, we friends, we want to come out and we want to tell you about this person in order that you too might put your faith and hope and trust upon Him. And we want to assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive all who will come to Him. He Himself did say, again, you can check this up in your Bibles. Go to Matthew in the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 11. And there you will find the Lord Jesus issues a wonderful, full, and free gospel invitation. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What was He saying there, friends? He was embracing, He was encouraging, He was exhorting sinners who had been hardened sinners, who had been under the sound of the gospel for a considerable amount of time, but who had not responded. And yet, to these hardened sinners, He was issuing a wonderful, full and free gospel message. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I want to ask you this afternoon, are you laboring? What do I mean? Well, do you have a burden? Do you have a burden maybe that you cannot describe and you cannot articulate, but you know there's something not quite right? What is it? I can tell you what it is. It is the burden of sin. And you have a burden of sin because you are not right with God. You don't have that relationship with God that you should have. You see, God is a holy God, pure and undefiled, and He cannot have a relationship with sinners. And therefore, because we are sinners, yes, the Bible teaches us that. We might think we're good, but no, in God's sight, we are sinners. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of this sin, there is this barrier between God and man. But Jesus has come and He has done something about it. What has He done? He has suffered and died on Calvary's tree. He paid the price of sin. He paid the price because we have broken God's law. And because of that, we are under God's wrath and curse by nature. And we cannot do anything about it. We haven't the ability. We haven't the desire. We haven't the will. We don't want to. But Jesus has done something for us. He has fulfilled that law of God. And He has paid the penalty for mankind breaking God's law. And therefore, here is the very heart and the very essence and indeed the life beat, the heartbeat of the gospel. Jesus has died in our room and in our place. And Jesus has done what we could never do. And what we are required to do is to believe upon Him. Now, what does it mean to believe upon the Lord Jesus? It means more than simply to believe some historical facts. Someone can believe the Bible. Someone can believe on an historical Jesus. But more is required in order to be saved. To believe in the biblical sense is to trust. It is to take one's eyes off oneself and to place our faith and hope for time and for eternity upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's what's required. That's what it is to believe upon Him. It is to trust Him. It is to look unto Him. It is to believe that He is the only begotten Son of God, and He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And therefore, friends, I wish to ask you this afternoon, as you pass by and as you go about your business, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe on Him? Do you trust Him and Him alone? That's what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't simply mean to believe some historical facts. I believe in Julius Caesar, but that doesn't make me a Roman. No, to believe in a biblical sense is to trust upon Him. And friends, do you trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ today? You are urged to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's an exhortation to the young. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He did. Look at the Son of God who came from heaven, who left the realms of glory, who came to this barren and sin-cursed world in order that He might suffer, in order that He might die, in order that He might be able to save sinners. You see, He gave His life. He shed His blood in order that sinners might be saved. And therefore you are urged today, even now, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What a life it is to be a Christian. What a great life it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and to know that your eternal destiny is secured in Him. To know that if you passed into eternity tonight, you would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful comfort that is. What great hope this brings to one's life to have Christ as Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to ask you this afternoon, do you have this hope? Do you have this confidence? Where will you spend eternity? What if your life was to end tonight? Where would you be? I know it's a very solemn subject, and I don't want to make light of it, but These things happen. We don't know much about life, do we? James tells us that our life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Where will you be? Where will you be if you were gathered to your Father's tonight? The Christian is assured that he shall be in glory. Why will he be in glory? He'll be in glory because he will be in glory because Jesus has suffered in his room and in his place. Jesus has paid the price of his sins. And because God is fair, God is just, God cannot demand payment twice. If my sins have been paid for by the death of the Lord Jesus, then he cannot demand payment twice. And therefore, friends, if you're in Christ, if you have this great hope, then your eternal future is secure and you can know the gift of eternal life even today. That's why we come out and we leave our churches and we leave our pulpits and we come out to spread the good news of the gospel, because we realize that many people today are not aware of what the Christian gospel is. And if I was to ask you what is the heart and the essence of the Christian gospel, with no disrespect to you, I doubt whether you could give me a decent answer, such as the ignorance concerning Christ and the gospel. And therefore it is incumbent upon us that we come out and we tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. We tell you to be reconciled to God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, many people try to get right with God by their good works, or by taking up religion, or going to church, or engaging in charitable works, or trying to live a good life. All of these things, to a certain extent, are commendable, but they will never save. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be right with God. What is that way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There the Lord Jesus, his own words, he is declaring dogmatically that he alone is the only God-appointed Savior. I said when I began my short talk, I said that there are many religions and they're all claiming to be good and they're all claiming to ultimately to take people to glory. But that is not the case. Christianity is unique. The Lord Jesus Christ would claim to be the only God-appointed Savior. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And we want you, friends, to consider seriously the claims of Christ, that you might have him as your Lord and Savior, that you might call upon him as he is freely offered to you in the Gospel. In the Old Testament, we find in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, we have what we call another Gospel invitation, another invite to come to the Lord Jesus. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There, he says, look unto me. Here's the first step, you might say, of the way of salvation. It's to take your eyes off yourself. Not to look to yourself, but to look to another. Who is that other? That other is Jesus Christ the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved. This is our great need, friends. This is the need above every need that we might have. And you might have real and pressing needs today. You might have health needs. You might have financial needs. You might have relationship problems. You might have a multitude of needs and problems. But this is above all things. You need to be saved. Why do you need to be saved? You might well ask. We all need to be saved because we are sinners. We're sinners in the sight of God and we need to be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. This is a universal gospel invitation. It's for everyone, for every nation, for every tribe, for every tongue, for all peoples without exception. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Because all of us, no matter how good we might think we are, we're all sinners. You might lead a morally upright life. You might be a pillar in the community. You might indeed be a model citizen, never in trouble with the police, never likely to appear in any court unless maybe as a witness or as a juror. You have an impeccable character and no one can point the finger at you and you're never expecting a policeman to be chasing after you. Such is your good character. But as far as God is concerned, and this is important, it is God who will be the judge. Not man, not ministers, not religion, not churches, but God. And as far as God is concerned, His verdict upon mankind is, we've all like sheep, we've all gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. None. And that's why He says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Everyone. Doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter the language that we speak. We're all sinners in the sight of Almighty God. But there is wonderful hope for us. And that hope is to be found in the Christian gospel. For I am God. There. It's God who has worked out this way of salvation. It's not mankind. It's God. And this is what another thing that makes Christianity unique. This is a religion, a faith that has come down from heaven. It has the stamp and the approval of heaven. All other religions, it doesn't matter what they are, they don't have this stamp, they don't have this approval. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're doing some outreach this week and we've come back to Byers Road. We've been here on previous occasions and we've enjoyed bringing the good news of the Christian gospel to you. We are from Partick Free Church of Scotland. We're a local congregation. We're a registered Scottish charity. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Go up the hill and you'll come, first of all, to Thornwood Primary School. Then you will meet our building next door to that on the crossroads. And we extend a warm and sincere welcome to you all to come along. We meet on the Lord's Day, that Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. And then we meet also on Wednesday night at 7:30. And believe it, my friends, we extend a warm welcome to you. And there are others out here this afternoon and they're handing out gospel tracts and magazines. Please avail yourselves of these things. Take them home and when you have a quiet time, read them. that they might instruct you further concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the only God-appointed Saviour. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries.